Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the NXpress Nintendo podcast. I am your interim host, extending into 2019, Patrick Murphy. We have a brand new year ahead of us, brand new Nintendo year, big Nintendo year from what it seems like anyway, at least from the early signs. And we're going to get into that in today's episode. We're going to really talk about our most anticipated games, along with some predictions for 2019. Based on an article that has gone up at GoogleStop.com. Joining me, of course, as always, thankfully, is Ricky D.
What's up, Patrick Murphy? What's up, Nintendo Nation?
My name doesn't rhyme with Nation as well as Tim Mason does. So.
It does not, but you know what, Patrick? I think we're going to have a lot of positive things to say because I think you're right. I think 2019 is going to be a great year for Nintendo. I think we have a lot of surprises. And last year, at the beginning of 2018, we talked about an article published on our website that listed the predictions month by month for Nintendo. The writer of that article was not on our podcast, but the writer of that article wrote the exact same article this year for 2019's predictions, and he is here.
Yes, so this will be a lot more fun discussing these things because we can get inside some of the wackier ones that came up. So first-time guest on the podcast, Kyle Rentschler is here.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
So, Kyle, we have a tradition on the NXpress for any first-time guest host, and that is Rick is going to ask you five questions. He's going to put you under the gun right now, and we're going to basically determine and deem your worth for this podcast.
Sounds good.
All right, Kyle, are you ready?
Sure.
The first question's tough. What is the better game, Majora's Mask or Ocarina of Time?
I'm going to go with Ocarina of Time.
Damn.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Relief going through me right now.
But I love both. But I recently did a dungeon-by-dungeon analysis on Ocarina of Time in honor of its anniversary. And, man, it still holds up. Still stunning.
It does.
Yeah, and for anyone who goes to our website, be sure to check out Kyle's series, Dungeon to Dungeon, when she analyzes the areas, the arenas of various games like Metroid Prime or Ocarina of Time. So that, and you just started a new one on Link's Awakening, I believe.
I did, yeah, Link's Awakening. Yeah, the first post just went up yesterday, I think.
Yeah, nice. I can't wait for this one, for this whole series.
Speaking of dungeons, question number two, what is your favorite dungeon in a video game?
My favorite dungeon in a video game? That's a good question. I'm like running through all the Zeldas because I feel like it has to be a Zelda. Maybe the Forest Temple, but it was close. At the end of my like level by level series, when I look at a game, I rank all of the levels or all of the dungeons, and it was really hard for me to choose ultimately between the Spirit and the Forest temples. But ultimately, I went with Forest, and I feel like Ocarina is arguably my favorite game of all time, so my favorite dungeon might as well come from that.
Yeah, it's a really good introductory dungeon for sure.
Yeah.
Or wait, yeah, I mean that's the first big one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're a movie buff, but if so, what movie would you like to see Nintendo turn into a video game?
I just saw this movie last night. I had mixed feelings about it, but this is what popped into my mind first. I think it was called Sorry to Bother You.
You want Nintendo to remake that movie? Oh my god!
How does Nintendo turn that movie into a video game?
They'll find a way to do it, and it'll be so fun, and it'll prove to us that their weirdness hasn't gone anywhere. You know, like they're willing to go all out and make stuff that we could never predict.
Well, you know, it's an interesting movie by director Boots Riley, and it is very strange and awkward and unique, and I could see Nintendo doing something similar. They'll just have to tone it down. The movie did make our list of the best movies of 2018, so you can always visit our website and check out our list of best movies of last year. Question number four, what is your favorite video game console of all time?
Man, it's really hard because I love the Switch, man. It's really high up there for me, but for now, I think I'm going to have to say the Super Nintendo. That was my first console. I remember opening it up on my fifth birthday. It was like one of the best moments of my life, and incredible library. I still love the controller and just the general aesthetic, so Super Nintendo.
I could not agree more. It is my favorite video game console of all time. The last and final question, Mr. Kyle. Okay. I'm giving him hard questions today, Patrick, except for question number four. That was easy.
Kyle's a thinker. He's a thinker. He can handle this.
Question number five. If Nintendo ever stopped making video game consoles and everything went digital, okay, think about this. Everything goes digital. What sort of setup would you want them to have in terms of, like in terms of like the interface? Like, would you want sort of like something sort of like in the vein of Netflix, where you pay $10 a month and you can play whatever you want? Or would you want it to be something more in lines of like you would just buy a digital copy, but you would pay per game, but it would cost you a lot more? Well, if you buy a digital game, like it's full price, but if they gave you some sort of like subscription model, then you would pay, say, $10 a month. So instead of buying, say, the new Zelda game for $60, you would just pay $10 a month, but get the new Zelda game and whatever else they offer. But you wouldn't own it.
Yeah.
And they can remove it.
Having to choose between and they can remove it, that makes it hard. I think I'd rather just buy them the way that I always have, but in a Steam-like system. But probably either of those scenarios, I wouldn't want Nintendo to design the interface. That might be the most important part.
I think of all the first-time guests who have answered our five questions, you've by far delivered the best and most perfect answers, because those are all correct. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
So we usually start our podcast off with sort of what we've been playing, and now is a pretty good time for that because, of course, it was the holidays, and a lot of us probably got some video games over the holidays. So, Rick, what have you been playing over the holidays here?
Okay, so one of my New Year's resolutions was to only look forward, not look back. So I don't want to talk about anything related to 2018, but this game was released this year. It is called Catastronauts.
That's a hard one to pronounce. I've seen that game on the eShop.
Yeah. I kind of feel bad because I'm not a big fan of the game. And like, the thing is, there's nothing necessarily wrong with the game except for the fact that it's exactly like Overcooked, except it takes place in a spaceship. And it's sort of like Overcooked crossed with the game Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time. So imagine Overcooked, the same sort of like style of animation, like the characters look similar. You're in a room, like the setting is an actual room, only it's in a spaceship instead of in a kitchen. And you're flying the spaceship, and you have to control the spaceship, shoot your enemies, and while you are being fired on, you have to repair the ship. So if there's a fire, you have to get a fire extinguisher and put out the fire. If there is damage to your ship, you have to get the toolbox and repair the ship. And so it's really one of those games that's made for multiplayer mode. And like Overcooked 2 or Overcooked 1... it's all about communicating with your partner, and the better communication you have, the more successful you will be. The problem with this game is it's so much like Overcooked, and it's not even close to being as good as Overcooked, and it's just not original, because like I said, it's so similar to that game, but also very similar to Lovers in a Dangerous Space-Time, which is also an indie game in which you play with your friends. It's a multiplayer couch co-op game. You fly a spaceship and you have to control the spaceship while you fly through space, right? So I knock out points for the fact that it's not original. I knock off points for the fact that it's not as fun as those games I just mentioned. But also it's one of those games that, again, really relies on couch co-op multiplayer. And that's great, fantastic, if you have a lot of people to play with. And the problem is even when people will come over to my house, nobody wants to play it because they would prefer to play Overcooked or Super Smash or whatever multiplayer game I have on my Switch. And so this was a really tough game for me to review because I usually like to try to finish the game or play as much as possible before I write a review. Like if I'm playing a fighting game, you know, that doesn't necessarily have a story mode, I don't necessarily have to sit there and play for 30 hours to get through a single player like story mode because I just need to know how the game functions as a fighter, right? In this case, there isn't really a story, but there are levels, and I just could not get myself to finish the game. Yet, I'm still going to write a review because I think I played enough of it to justify my, say, quote-unquote score, which I hate giving scores to video games, guys. Can we please stop doing it? But anyways. So yeah, that's about it. The game comes from Inertia Game Studios, and again, they did a good job. It is a fun enough game if you can get people to play with you. I do not recommend buying this game if you want to play by yourself. I actually, at one point, I had two controllers, and because, okay, so the games, when you play by yourself, you have two characters that you can control, right? So two characters in a spaceship, but you're one person controlling both characters. You have to press one of the buttons to switch between each character, right? So what I did was added an additional character, so it would have like a second controller, only technically I'm playing by myself. So it would position one of the characters at, say, I don't know, like the front of the ship, and the other character would position the back of the ship, and the other character I would position the middle of the ship. So if I had to switch between the character in the front of the ship to the character in the back of the ship, I would do so, but then would have to pick up the second controller, which made it a little bit more difficult. And there was that sort of like chaotic feeling that you get when playing a game like Overcooked. But again, it's not the same because it's not as fun as playing with your friends. So do I recommend the game? I don't know. Yeah, I guess if you like Overcooked, if you finished Overcooked, if you're looking for a game similar to Overcooked, get it, buy it, support these guys. But if you're playing by yourself, you know, heed the warning, like it won't be as fun.
Yeah, and it's pretty, I mean, I read through the description on there. They make no bones about that this is a multiplayer game. So it's a couch co-op game. So at least they're not like, the game isn't being sold as a single player experience, that's for sure. So hopefully people will take that into account. What would you say, like you say it's not as fun as Overcooked. Is there anything specific that you can point to? Or does it like control as well? Is it not as fast paced? Or
I mean, remember when we went to E3 and we were playing Overcooked 2?
Yeah, nice.
And we were on like, what was it? We were on like a boat and
something like that.
And yeah, like the boat split in half.
Split in half. Yeah.
Right. And then you're like, it was just, it was chaos. It was like you're in the middle of like this perfect storm. The boat splits in half. Half of your kitchen is split in half. You're trying to cook for like the crew. And like half of your cooking crew, like your half of the cooks are on one side of the boat, the other half of the cooks are on the other side of the boat. You're trying to communicate,
and you're throwing stuff across.
You're
the boat,
throwing yeah. food and plates across from one side to the other side. Pure chaos. That was fun. I find that Overcooked, and mind you, that's the sequel that we play. But even the first game, I feel like, first of all, there's a lot more imagination. It's a lot more colorful, cheeky, just the characters themselves, like they actually have personality. I felt like these characters are kind of bland. And yeah, like overall, I guess that's the key word here, guys. It's personality. Overcooked has a lot of personality. This game does not have a lot of personality. Well, what's an animal that has great personality? Like a pig?
I like, mean, it can. Depends it can. On the pig. I mean, I you know, I've seen a few in my time, and they're not all charmers, you know.
But what's an animal that does not have a good personality? I'm just trying to figure out a good, like, comparison.
A cow. Cows have terrible personalities.
Right. So this game would be the equivalent of a cow, and Overcooked would be the equivalent of a pig with personality. Like Babe. Babe's
I feel
a
like
cool pig.
That's the definitive review of that game right there.
So yeah, that's what I've been. I mean, I've also been playing a lot of Super Smash, but we've talked about it for so long in the last two episodes. I will sure. say that I'm still not yet finished the World of Light single player mode, but I'm taking my sweet time. But I'm also glad I'm not rushing through it because it can be a chore and it does get repetitive. So I'm taking my sweet time. I've unlocked all the characters. I've been playing a lot at work, though, because they have it at work. And so during my lunchtime, I go play upstairs.
All right. So, Kyle, what have you been playing over the holidays?
Right now, I'm really just playing Link's Awakening for the level-by-level column. But, you know, if you haven't played it, I'd highly recommend it. It's flying off the shelves. Very popular game.
Now, are you playing the color version, the Game Boy Color version, or the original?
I'm playing the Game Boy Color version, yeah. Okay, and I'm so playing it on my 3DS. Yeah. But over the holidays, I played Smash, like everybody else. And, you know, it's a pretty good game. And I also played through Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, the Donkey Kong DLC, which was like shockingly good to me.
So
I really, really
good. So
yeah,
good.
That's a fun DLC. Totally worth it.
Yeah. So I'd highly recommend that, especially if you enjoyed the base game, or even if the base game was a little bit too hard.
Yes, the Donkey Kong stuff is much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah, because DK's OP.
Totally
as
is.
He should be.
As he should be.
And honestly, I had no problem with that. I didn't need like some extra, you know, super challenging mode. It was kind of fun just to go through there and figure out how to play with DK. He plays differently, and so did Cranky Kong, or Cranky Rabbit Kong, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great game. I on the advice of reviews, good reviews for Iconoclasts, I picked that game up. You know, Rick, when we had talked about this game, you and I were both a little hesitant to get it, right? Something about it just didn't quite grab us. I think I remember you saying, watch the trailer, and you were just like, eh.
Well, for anyone who didn't listen to the last show, basically we discuss the 15 games that are available on the Nintendo Switch that made our list of the 30 best video games of 2018. This game made our list, and neither one of us had played it. So on the last podcast, we couldn't really speak to the game. Like, we never played the game. So we just went by, like, look, this appeared on our staff list over at GoombaStomp.com, and a lot of people voted for it. We haven't played it, so maybe we should try it.
Yeah, so I did. And I guess I don't want to be, look, our reviewer, Brent Milton, gave it a great review, a very positive review, like so many others did. And I don't want to undercut his viewpoint on this. This is my own subjective viewpoint, but I found, as someone who likes Metroidvanias and especially puzzle platformers, right? Like, if there's one genre that's for me, it's the puzzle platformer. I found Iconoclast the best thing I can say about it is that it was tedious. I really, really did not like this game. I did not have fun playing it. And the only reason I played through the entire thing was pure spite. Because I spent $20 on this thing, and I didn't want to go, and I was looking for something to play over the holidays. I didn't want to go out and just buy another game. You know, I just dropped 20 on this indie, and I thought, you know what, screw this. I'm going to play through this game. But I cannot say that I enjoyed myself. I honestly don't. I would love to talk with people about why they think this game was an outstanding, like what qualities of it were outstanding. I've played a lot of Metroidvanias and a lot of puzzle platformers, and this game was kind of a mess. And when you look at the history of it, it was developed by one person. It took, I think, about 7 years. It's obvious that it took 7 years. It's like, Rick, if I told you that I'd been writing my screenplay for 7 years, you're instantly going to think there are problems.
I'm going to think it's like 700 pages too long. Kyle. Yeah,
yes, that's perfect. Because this game needed editing, massive editing, especially with the text, which just goes on forever. And it's just kind of almost juvenile in its in the issues it's trying to tackle.
I've talked about this so many times when we review games, movies, TV shows, you name it. Everybody needs an editor. How often have I seen a movie in which the director decides to also be the editor and the movie's 30 minutes longer than it needs to be? And that's the whole point of having an editor. And I get it, because look, if you're a creator, like you're a filmmaker or a game developer, and you spend years, in this case 7 years, making a game, it is hard for you as the creator to remove bits and pieces of that game, even if it will make it better for the user experience, right? So for us playing the game, it would make it a better game for us, because there isn't so much padding, and it doesn't weigh down the game in like long stretches of what's tedious and boring at times. And yes. I get it, because if you spend so much time making a game, you're attached to it because it's your creation. But that's why someone needs an editor to say, hey, no, you got to cut this out.
And it's an impressive accomplishment for a single person to do this. But as an actual game, my other problem is when you work on something over the course of 7 years, you're going to have a hard time making it all cohesive. And this game just felt very disjointed. It did not feel like a whole. There was no real flow or pace to it that I ever was comfortable with. And it ended up just in me not having a very good experience playing through the whole thing. I didn't find any of the puzzles to be all that engaging. It was all pretty basic. The platforming was very basic. The level design was just kind of off. There was nothing. Okay, so this leads into what else I kind of played, because I needed a palate cleanser after this game. I really, really had an adverse reaction to it.
Before you move on to your next game, Kyle, have you played it?
No, I haven't, but I was actually considering picking it up just a couple days ago. So
the odd thing is, like, I needed a palate cleanser, so I went out and bought Kirby Star Allies, and that game was okay, but, you know, whatever. It does it special. It was fine, but it was kind of a pleasant little diversion.
I love that game.
It was fine.
It's not an amazing game, but for a Kirby game, it's not bad. Like, it's well made. It looks great. It has a great ending. It's fun when you play with four characters. Like, I get it. It's a Kirby game. I think we played a lot of Kirby games in our life, but
yeah, and they're all pretty much the same these days. I feel like Yoshi has taken over the cute Nintendo mascot that Kirby once used to be, because now Yoshi does all these aesthetic things. And I didn't think that Kirby Star Allies, like, visually, the first world I thought was visually very good, and then after that, it kind of boring visually to me, with little pickups here and there. But anyway, it was fine. I did think that some of it was clever, and you know, the end is very epic and everything, and that was cool. But I had myself wondering after Iconoclast, I was like, am I I had such strong positive reactions to other Metroidvanias from last year, like Dendara and Yoku's Island Express. And I loved SteamWorld Dig 2 from the previous year. And those were kind of different Metroidvanias. They're Metroidvanias with kind of a catch, with a shtick, you know. And I was like, do I even like the traditional ones anymore? Am I just bored with traditional Metroidvanias? So I went back and I never finished Hollow Knight. I made it about 5 hours in, and I encountered a boss that became a roadblock, and then I had other games to play, and I just left it. And I could never bring myself to go back to it, because Hollow Knight is a game you kind of got to, like, you have to have some skills, so you have to be playing, like, in a rhythm, I think, to really beat those bosses.
You need a Nintendo psychologist. Like, do you realize what you just said? You're trying to figure out if you are just bored and tired at this point of the old school Metroidvania games. Like, you're the one that didn't like Samus Returns.
Yeah, I know. So I went back to Hollow Knight.
Oh, God.
And I really did like Hollow Knight when I played it. I just ran to that roadblock. But I was like, did I get bored with that game? Is that game somehow, you know? So I've been playing Hollow Knight now, and I love it. It's such a huge difference. I can see now the difference between something like Hollow Knight and something like Iconoclast, where Hollow Knight is so exquisitely crafted. Every single stage in that game, or every single map piece of the map, I can see what they're trying to do. There seems to be intent. Everything flows right. Every platform seems positioned to teach me something, to teach me how to make a move, or how to avoid an enemy attack, or how to do something. And I love it. And now that I'm fully like into Hollow Knight right now, I'm doing better than I was before. So I beat the boss that I couldn't beat before, and I'm just sort of getting into this game a little bit more. That I never really gave it, I think, a full chance because other games were coming out last year. And as soon as I encountered like this boss that I died 30 times on, I was done. But now I just went back and beat him. But I can see the difference now. I'm not bored with Metroidvanias. I really do think that Iconoclast represents a mediocre at best Metroidvania. And I'd love to know why people thought I was outstanding.
Well, but not last week, the last time we recorded a podcast, which is in 2018, because we took some time off, you, myself, and I believe it was Marty, we all agreed that just watching the trailer, there was nothing about that game that sold us on it. It did not look very good. Anyhow, I'm glad I didn't buy the game, because I think at this point I'm burnt out and I need, like, I don't know, I need something new. You know what I need? I need new Super Mario in my life. That's what I need. I'm going to pick it up this weekend. I'm not even joking. Yeah.
If I wasn't so into Hollow Knight right now, I'd be totally up for that. But I played new Super Mario for the Wii U already. So, but anyway, that's my story. I mean, has that ever happened to you where you can kind of like, it's tough sometimes with platformers to call something uninspired, right? But like, you can't put a finger on it. Kyle, maybe you could explain better, like, because you are analyzing dungeons. And I imagine you could bring those same sort of tools to analyzing stages in a platformer as to why something works and why something does not work.
Yeah. So I haven't played Iconoclast. I can't speak to why that doesn't work. Hollow Knight I played last year. New Super Mario Brothers I played, like New Super Mario Brothers U I played when it came out a few years ago. And I can say for New Super Mario Brothers U, I enjoyed it when I played it, but I didn't walk away from there feeling like it had reinvented the series or anything. And then I think it was sometime maybe like 6 months or so ago, Polygon came out with a list, one of the writers at Polygon, of like ranking all the Mario games, and they had New Super Mario Brothers U at the top of that list.
That was ridiculous. That was one writer, by the way. That was not the opinion of the whole entire staff.
Right, yeah.
He wrote up a great article and a great defense. But I just don't buy it.
Yeah. No, he did. Yeah. But it got me wondering, like, if part of the reason why I didn't find New Super Mario Brothers U inspiring, even though, like, if it was actually as well-designed as he thought it was, is it because it just didn't have something that was super unique about it that drew me in? Because I thoroughly loved playing through Hollow Knight. But I feel like I could point to several deficiencies, or I could after I finished it. I finished it and I thought, like, I didn't really see how it was as perfect as everybody was saying it was, but I really, really enjoyed it.
I don't think it's perfect. Let me state that. I mean, I do think it's finely crafted, but there are some things that bug me about it still. But I guess after playing Iconoclast, it, by comparison, it feels more perfect. That's for sure. I might be having such strong positive reaction to it because of what Iconoclast was?
I kind of feel it's a loaded question that can fill up a whole entire talk spot on our podcast, because first of all, video games are like an interactive medium, so you can struggle with
very
controls
subjective.
And exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. You know, someone might just not be good at, I don't know, first person shooters. Like they're good at specific games and they don't have the same kind of like control on the controls, but also like, if you've played, say, 5 similar games within the past year and you stumble upon a platformer, once again, you've just finished 5 platformers, you might not be as excited to play that platformer, whereas you would playing something else, something new, like maybe a Mario Kart, for example. But also, like, with like even like New Super Mario Brothers, like was released on the Wii U, when I got that game, what I really loved about it was how it reminded me a lot of Super Mario Brothers 2, the North American Super Mario Brothers 2 released on the NES, which I love, and a lot of people hate that game, but it had a lot of callbacks to that game, and I really, really love that game, which is why I want to pick it up again and replay it. But also, it's Mario, right? But the thing is, at the same time, it's not doing anything new. So it takes ideas from previous games. Sure, the levels are new and different, but it's the same characters. It's the same sort of like platformer that we had back in like the NES, Super NES days. It just has like better graphics. So you know what I mean? Like, there's a million reasons why a game might not work for you and work for someone else. But yeah.
Mario is comfort food. That's what he is. He's the comfort food of platforming. And I think you can always have a good time with it, even if he doesn't happen to reinvent the wheel. It's still going to be fun to a certain extent. Yeah, but I mean, the only reason I brought this up, the Hollow Knight thing up, was because of it was such a direct comparison. I mean, we're talking about going from one to the other. So I wanted to know like I wanted to know why I felt this particular way about a game that everybody else seemed to love. And then I agreed with everybody in really liking Hollow Knight. Like, so yeah, anyway.
Well, you know, if I could also just take the stage or take the mic and just compare two games that I love that recently played back to back, and they're very similar, and it's two fighting games, Super Smash versus Dragon Ball FighterZ. And I love Dragon Ball FighterZ. I thought it was like one of the most underrated games of 2018. But as soon as I picked up Smash, it's really hard to go back to Dragon Ball FighterZ. It does have the sort of like tag team mode in which you can swap in between like two characters like during battle, which I wish Smash has. Like, Smash has a tag team mode, but you can't swap between characters while in battle. You have to wait till one character is like defeated. But like, there's just and I know, Patrick, you don't like Smash, but I feel like Smash to me, after playing a game as good as Dragon Ball FighterZ, just feels like a masterpiece when it comes to like a fighting game. Like, the controls, just how chaotic it is, like how complex it is. And so now it's hard for me to pick up that game and go back to it.
I think that can definitely happen when you, like you say, when you can play something, when you play a similar genre back to back, it's inevitable you're going to make comparisons. And it just matters. At least you liked Dragon Ball, though, and you had fun with Dragon Ball while you bought it. Unfortunately, I had no fun with Iconoclast. but the silver lining of that is that it led me back to a game that I hadn't, you know, that I thought I was kind of done with, which was Hollow Knight. And now I've discovered that I'm not done with that game and I'm really enjoying it. So there's a silver line there. Plus, I enjoyed Kirby's Star Allies enough too. So I had enough fun after. I think my palate has officially been cleansed after the bitter taste of Iconoclast. anyway, all right, we should probably move on and get to 2019 now that we're done talking about our holidays. So when we come back, we're going to do our first part of our predictions for 2019 and our most anticipated games. All right, we'll be back in a bit. Everybody, welcome back. We're going to start this segment off. We're going to do two segments here. We're going to split the year up, split 2019 up a little bit. But we're going to do our predictions and some of the most anticipated games for 2019 for Nintendo. So Kyle Rentschler has actually written an article on our website, goombastomp.com. You can check it out. He details all of his predictions month by month. for Nintendo, the biggest games, possible surprises, all sorts of things. He has predictions and he has some solid facts on there as well. You should definitely check it out. There are some wacky things on there. We are going to go through some of these things, though. So, Kyle, why don't we throw this over to you? What do you have? First of all, what do you have for January? Your January seems is pretty laid out by Nintendo already, but what do you have for this month?
Yeah, January will probably be my most accurate month. I've got new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, Travis Strikes Again, Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story. And those are really the three big games that I had. Nintendo had already announced all of them, so that was easy. Then I said Piranha Plant was going to come out as Smash DLC, but somebody pointed out to me that that's already confirmed for February, which I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
No,
okay,
it's
true. Is.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So I got that one wrong. So that's a great way to start off the year.
Well, you got to lure them in, Kyle. That way they want to see what else you got wrong over the course.
Yeah. It goes pretty off the rails, you know. Month I have a wild card prediction, and that's not actually a prediction. That's just facetious. That's just, it allows me to play around a little bit, but,
right.
But for January, I say it's a Mother trilogy because last year I said it was going to be Mother 3 and people said, no way, you're crazy. And so this year I doubled down, all three of them, all in one $60 package.
That's what you did.
I tripled down. Exactly.
Patrick, yep. How long have we been doing the show? 3 years? Going on four,
yeah.
I guess? Because we started the podcast a year before we started the website.
That's
so
true.
Ever since we started the podcast, what do I say every year for my predictions?
Mother
3 is coming out. Yeah. And never does, right? It never does. And you know, this year I want to say it's not coming out just so I'm right for the first time, but I'm actually going to agree with Kyle, and I'll tell you why. I'm looking at the NES library, and they are now up to like, what, 40 games? Because they just added like Ninja Gaiden and Link to the Past is coming out.
And
no, not Link to the Past,
Zelda
2.
2.
Right. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm thinking about
Blaster
like.
Man.
Yeah, remember when we made our list of like the 100 best NES games, and I was like, okay, so how many of these games can they release before they get to Earthbound? And let's not forget that the first game in that trilogy was released on the Wii U, so we've already got two released on the Wii U. We just need the third game. I think it's very possible. Is it going to come this soon? I don't think so, because it's so big. It's in such demand. People have been wanting it for so long. That would be like a big, big E3 drop for me. Like, they would announce that at E3. So, I don't see it happening. It would be great, but yeah. And it would be great if it was now, because, you know, it's the later in the year, the more games you have to play. The more games get released, the more catch-up you have to do. Like, I would rather play it now.
I can see them doing it later on in the year. It doesn't sell well, and then they're like, see, we told you, nobody wants Mother. Travis Strikes Again is my big game for this month. Thank you. I can't wait to see the kind of weirdness that is. I don't really know what to expect. I know it's just kind of a beat 'em up, and maybe it'll be fun, and you know, maybe it'll be kind of so-so. But I think that Suda51 is always kind of like weird, so I'm looking forward to that one. All right, what do you have for February, Kyle?
For February, I've got the Metroid Prime trilogy as the main attraction, and you know, this was rumored to be announced at the Game Awards in December. And then that didn't happen. And now some people are saying, oh, it's going to be announced at a Direct that people were thinking was going to take place tomorrow. And now they're thinking might take place next Thursday. So
I've been reading about that. There's a lot of predictions for that Direct.
So here's the thing. If Metroid Prime 4, which I seriously highly doubt, and I guess we're going to talk about later on, I think, I won't spoil it for listeners, but I think we'll talk about it later on. But anyways, if Metroid Prime 4 were to somehow get released this year, which it can, by the way, and I'll explain why in a second, then it would make sense for them to release the Metroid Prime trilogy so early, and for them to do it with a Nintendo Direct, that makes perfect sense. And we are expecting a Direct soon. Nintendo always does a Direct early in the year. We're expecting a Direct. And if they're going to drop a Direct, which they probably will because they just announced some more release dates for some bigger games, which we'll get to soon, it would make sense. I think there is a slight chance that Metroid Prime 4 can get released, and here's why. We recently published a list of the 40 most anticipated video games of 2018. Now, that includes Nintendo, Sony, Indies, you name it, right? And we made a hard rule that in order for the game to get qualified for the list, it has to have been confirmed for a release in 2019. We don't necessarily need a release date, but we included Metroid Prime 4. And the reason being is because Nintendo is the kind of company that can release or announce a game like Super Mario Odyssey in December and have it released. Like, when did it get released?
It got released with Smash. Remember Smash?
They did with Smash. So, like, two of their biggest games on a Switch was announced and released within a year.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, you know, Metroid Samus Returns was announced, and all of a sudden that game was on us in like 4 or 5 months. So yeah, it can happen. There's, you know, it's I don't know that I think it's going to, but it could happen. But the Metroid Prime Trilogy, I mean, I love it. I guess I'd buy it again, and I have the original one for the Wii, like the metal case version, the special edition. I guess I'd probably buy this too, because why not? I'd like to play it on my Switch. Although I don't know if the pointer controls will work as well as they did with the Wiimote. But yeah, that would be an interesting one. Was that your wild card for February, Kyle, or were you straight up calling that one?
I was straight up calling that one.
That okay. was his main attraction.
Okay. Yeah. What's your wild card for February?
My wild card is, Switch Fit, a game that hasn't been announced yet. It's what their Quality of Life initiative turned into, and it'll focus on mental and physical health and sort of be a hybrid Wii Fit brain age.
You know why I think you're wrong? They just released the boxing game. Well, yeah, they, yeah, well, no, that's to be fair, that's your wild card, but they just released the boxing game.
Yeah.
No, that's... Yeah. But I'm actually more interested in your backup.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have a lot of justification for those. So I called Untitled Goose Game, Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, and a port of Wonderful 101. Untitled Goose Game, I feel like of the indies that are announced and coming to Switch soon, that one's got a lot of hype behind it. And if February doesn't see a big new single party release, like that could be a smart time for that developer to put their game out if it's ready and for Nintendo to promote it. Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles, my reasoning there was if all the Final Fantasies are coming, or like several Final Fantasies, like 5 or 6 of them, I think, are coming to Switch this year, they might lead with Crystal Chronicles because that's the one people are least excited about. But maybe people would pick it up because it's the first Final Fantasy on Switch. But I don't know if they'd pick it up if they released it between like 10 and 12 or something.
Yeah, that's a good call right there. And the Wonderful 101, could they port that to Switch with the... I don't know. I mean, they could, obviously, yeah. But... I played that game and I never used the control stick to draw the shapes. I'm not really, it didn't feel very natural to me.
Yeah, I think it would be tough. I think the controls would be hard to do.
I don't know how you can port that game to Switch.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the thing about the Wii U. There are some games that might not ever get ported or released ever again because they just relied so heavily on the Wii U and the gamepad. And I was reading somewhere that if you want to buy a brand new Wii U now, it'll actually cost you like minimum $900 because they're not making
unopened.
Yeah, unopened exactly. Box. Yeah, yeah, a brand new one.
You can have mine for $500. I'll give it to you.
Anyhow, moving on to March. Already you got it wrong. I can tell you right away you got it wrong.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, are you saying that because of Yoshi?
No. Well, yes. And because of Animal Crossing.
Yeah, sure.
So here's the thing. Animal Crossing's too big of a game for them to release in March so soon without a build-up. And if they're going to release a game like Metroid Prime 4 or Animal Crossing or even a Pokemon game, they're going to wait till after E3 because they're going to want to do something on our show floor. And, you know, last year, the whole entire show floor was based on, like, Super Smash. The year before was Odyssey. The year before was, like, Legend of Zelda. And having an Animal Crossing show floor... I don't know, like, I don't know, like a little village. Yeah, a little village. Awesome. It'll be amazing. And so it's just too early for Animal Crossing.
That would almost make me want to go back to E3 again.
So I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. And but I guess my justification for it coming out in March is I'm thinking the big title this year for them is actually Pokemon. And so I'm guessing that's what E3 is going to be about.
Right, but so here's my question for you. So let's say they will have, I'm guessing they'll have 3 big titles this year. If you have, but let's just say 2. Mm-hmm. What do you release at Christmas and what do you release at in November for Thanksgiving? I mean, they usually release one big one in November and one big one in December.
Like Pokemon right. Let's Go and Smash Brothers came out last year.
Yeah, and Odyssey and Xenoblade the year before. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if what they're going to release in December is something that hasn't even been announced yet.
We'll get to that soon.
Yeah. And one of the reasons I say that is because at the beginning of last year, we didn't know about either Smash or Pokemon Let's Go. So we didn't know about their big November or December titles.
Right.
That doesn't mean history is going to repeat itself. We obviously know a lot more about their calendar in general going into this year. But, you know, these predictions, they're also wishful thinking. I would love to have Animal Crossing as soon as possible. And so that was definitely part of it. And then looking at historical precedent, Animal Crossing hasn't always released as a big fall title. It's often released more in the spring, summer time frame.
Yeah, if you put it in the summertime, I would have agreed.
Yeah.
But March seems too early because Splatoon got released in June. Huge game. Yeah. Splatoon 2. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
So what's the wild card for March?
The wild card was a point-and-shoot gallery. It'll mash up past Nintendo shooters like Duck Hunt, Hogan's Alley, and Link's Crossbow Training. And it'll feature a new Nintendo-fied Time Crisis-like adventure mode. It'll be the first in a loosely affiliated series of gimmick games that will take advantage of the unique properties of the Joy-Cons. So the 1-2 switch of this year.
They do kind of need something to go all Joy-Con-y again. I mean, they haven't really focused on the Joy-Cons much.
Yeah.
So if they came out with like a $30 game, you know, even if it was just an all digital game, like a mini game, you know, that would be something. I can see them doing something like that this year. I think they are going to experiment a little bit. I think you're on the right track as far as the idea, like the spirit of the idea.
Yeah, so in April, like I think you were going to say, Rick, this is another thing I got wrong.
Well, it's already an error, yeah, because they announced it last night, yeah.
Yeah, right.
We should mention that Kyle wrote his article before some of these announcements were made.
I did, yeah, I wrote it at the very beginning.
I would hope so.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, the piranha plant thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You need that strength, that balance between lack of research.
Yoshi's Crafted World, what exactly is the release date?
I think it's March 29th.
So you were close. You said April.
I was close, yeah.
I mean, if it comes out at the end of March and you said April 1st, you're off by like 2 days.
Exactly. And I did say, I think, that it was going to be in the beginning of the month, I think. Maybe that's just what I was thinking. But I was thinking shortly after the start of spring, which is the end of March. So
you know what you could do is you can edit the article at the end of the year and make it so that you were completely right.
That's true.
So. Predictions for 2019 at the end of 2019. That is the good one.
But yeah, I'm kind of proud of that one because I was only like, it was like a week off from what I was thinking. So
yeah.
So not too bad there. So.
All right. So what about the wild card of April?
The wild card is WarioWare Shake and Bake, and it'll launch on 420, just like Labo did last year. And
is there a reason for that, Kyle? Any specific reason that April 20th would be?
That's when apparently Nintendo's decided that that's a meaningful date for them. And
for crazy ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll have a crazy idea in it. It'll feature an unexpectedly deep culinary side mode called Cooking Wawa, like Cooking Mama.
Right, oh that's... my God! Have you played Cooking Mama?
No, I actually haven't.
Is the game called Cooking Mama?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty clever idea. Also, I like Shake and Bake, too.
Thank you. Yeah. So, again, these wild cards aren't something that I necessarily expect, but, you know. But if it happens, you can't say nobody. Yeah.
That's a perfect Nintendo title, by the way, because you're basically, you're giving the pun, you're telling people what's new in this WarioWare thing, the cooking thing, and it's got the nice little rhyme there. That's yeah. You should be just... have a job naming Nintendo games.
Thank you. And then my other wild card was Joker as Smash DLC, but really that should have been in the backup column because that's not ridiculous because it's already been announced. So.
Yeah, and I'm not sure like how they're going to divvy up all those DLC characters over the
course. No, me either. Yeah. I sort of evenly spaced them throughout the year, but I'd actually be pretty surprised if they all came out this year. But it was for my own gratification that I had them all come out this year.
So. You want it sooner rather than later.
Yep, exactly. And I also had a Persona 5R release alongside of it on the same day. So.
And that doesn't seem out of the question at some point.
Now, no. Kyle, is this a wish list or a dream list?
So last year I had a hard time separating the two. So this year I tried to separate them more. And the wild card is really my pipe dream, kind of like really bizarre thing. It's where I just sort of toy around with an idea I either want a lot or an idea that I just think is crazy and funny enough to put in there. But the main attraction and the backup, those were more serious guesses.
Yeah, and they all seem fairly plausible.
Right, yeah.
And I get the spirit of the wild card. It's like, you know, trying to predict what Nintendo's going to do is almost impossible. So you might as well just, like, use your imagination because they've come up with weird, weird stuff before.
Yeah.
Before we move on, I just want to know, anywhere on this list, is there a game that is in any way connected to the movie The Wizard that comes with a Fred Savage amiibo?
No, but maybe 2020. That sounds more like a 2020 title to me.
Yeah, when did that movie come out? Was it 88, 89? That could play a part if there's an anniversary, you know?
Came out the same year as Super Mario Bros. 3, remember?
Yeah, wait, so that was like 19... Was that 1990? No, that was 89, right?
Dude, NES days, man. Way before.
Well, 91 was the Super NES, so...
Yeah, exactly. This was like... Super NES wasn't around at the time. It was still like the Power Glove just got released, and Super Mario Bros. 3 was getting released in December. The movie got released at the end of the summertime, so it was 1988.
It was 89. I just looked it up. So this is the 30th anniversary of The Wizard. If they're going to do it, it's got to be this year.
I've already written an article about it. I'm not even joking. It's ready to be published. Moving on to May.
All right, May. What's your main attraction for May, Kyle?
The main attraction is Fire Emblem Three Houses. So
that seems perfect, actually. I was going to say April or May for that one.
Yeah.
They want to get it out of the way before E3. It's a big release. They want it to kind of have its own time, I think, to breathe, because Fire Emblem is a major franchise now.
Yeah. Well, if it turns out to be April, I could blame it all on me inserting Animal Crossing into March and then pushing Yoshi and Fire Emblem back a month. And I would have been right on both of these, but
I hope to God they don't release this game in December like they would like Xenoblade Chronicles, like, because like the first of all, you don't want the game to compete with an Animal Crossing or a Pokemon or a Metroid Prime 4 or Bayonetta 3 or any of those big games. Mm-hmm. And I know Fire Emblem has a huge following, but still, it needs some love. So releasing the game in May seems like a really good time to do so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this one quite a bit. This is one of my more highly anticipated games. I've been playing a lot of Fire Emblem Heroes on the mobile game, as people who listen to this podcast know. I dug Fire Emblem Awakening. The mobile game got me to buy one of the regular games for the first time. And so I am really looking forward to sinking my teeth into this one. All right, so let's do June now. Or no, we didn't do the wild card. I'm sorry. Wild card for May.
Wild card is Super Mario 64 Deluxe Ultra Remix for Switch.
This is my favorite prediction, by the way.
if only. Oh, my God. Yeah. I played Super Mario 64 on the Wii U from start to finish. Finished the game once again. This was like 2 years ago when we reviewed it on the podcast. Man, I love that game. I would play this game again. And you're saying a deluxe package? Hell yeah.
Explain, Kyle. Yeah. What is the deluxe version?
The deluxe version is it's the original game with a ton of extra levels, 11 extra levels, I say, refurbished for the modern player's palette. So supposedly Miyamoto had designed, I don't know how many, but dozens of levels for 64, but only, I think, 15 made it into the actual game. But I think he made like an absurd amount, like 50 or 70 or something like that. And so I'd like to imagine that they would go back and look at some of those levels and dress them up and release them as part of this like re-release of Super Mario 64.
I would have no problem buying that game.
Yeah.
That would be an instant.
I would lose my mind. It's not even my favorite Mario game, but I would lose my mind. That game is incredible.
I hope that one comes true, Kyle. That's your top wild card for me right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be incredible.
All right, June. We're going to be halfway through the year here. This is where things are starting to get critical.
Yeah, so I've got Daemon Ex Machina, or, yeah, I assume that's how you pronounce it, for the main attraction. Yeah, and this isn't, like, this isn't something I'm super pumped about, but it seems like there's a lot of mech fans out there who are excited about this.
I think you nailed this in your summary of it, by the way, that it'll be kind of okay, but not great.
Yeah, that is what I'm predicting for this one. I'd be shocked if it was actually great. But if it sells well, you know, maybe a sequel will get a lot more attention and it'll be a more fleshed out experience. But I envision it, you know, not necessarily being a super huge game, not necessarily being as polished as we want it to be, but hopefully being enjoyable enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's one to keep a cautious eye on. Yeah. If you like mech games, obviously go for it. But yeah, it's, you know, I don't think it'll be bad, but I'll be curious to see if they can pull it off. What I saw at like the E3, you know, playthroughs or whatever, I was like you, I wasn't super impressed with anything that I saw. I mean, it looks fine. Yeah. But not like necessarily a major deal.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. So wild card, right before E3, what do we got?
Right before E3, we've got...
It's not a wild card. It's a full house.
Yeah. There's quite a few this month. Yeah. It's a punchy month. So we've got Mario Golf Mobile. It's the Mario Golf game everybody wants, but not on the platform we want it on.
No.
Because Nintendo, there has to be a certain amount of cruelty in their calendar, you know? So this is a little bit of that. And then we've got an Overwatch port and a Tracer released as DLC in Smash as a character the same day as the Overwatch port. And then my favorite prediction of the month, Paper Mario Planet Peach, which is the new Paper Mario game where you mostly play as Princess Peach. And it turns out that Bowsette is the villain.
So I thought about this one when I was reading it. At first, I thought, like, that was a totally insane idea. and then the more I thought about it, I was like, wait a second, that would be kind of cool, actually. And then I thought, would there be public outcry over this? Calling
no, but what is the deal with Bowsette? Like, Nintendo released a statement about her and how, like, did you guys read this?
That's like this meme that's just been going around. Right?
No, it's a meme that's been going on, but Nintendo actually addressed it and said that she cannot wear the crown because only Princess Peach can wear the crown. But it does not necessarily mean that she cannot be included in a Nintendo game as a character, just maybe not wearing that specific crown. You never know, man. Nintendo's done strange things. They could actually take this character and run with it.
They might. I wish they would have run with Linkle, so I don't know how much of a future Bowsette has, but who knows? Maybe we'll...
On this list, okay, if you... remove Planet Peach and just keep Paper Mario, there's a good chance we can get a Paper Mario game. I do not think we're going to get Overwatch, and if we were to get Overwatch, I don't think Tracer would be included in Super Smash. I think we already know who the characters will be included in Super Smash based on the recent leak, which I'm not going to talk about just in case anyone doesn't know and doesn't want to be spoiled.
Yeah.
The Mario Golf mobile game is hands down my most favorite pick so far on this list.
Most plausible, like wild card.
Most plausible.
That one seems really, really plausible. I hope not, though, for the sake of Mario Golf. Please let that not be true. At least not without a console version too. But if they released a mobile version in concert with a console version at some point, like I'd be playing both, especially if they connected. I love Mario Golf. It's the last one, the World Tour was for 3DS, was a fantastic game.
Do you think that they can release a game like Golf Story, only it stars Mario and takes place in the Animal Crossing village?
God, if I were Nintendo, I would be secretly funding the Golf Story developers to try to come up with something else exclusive to my console, because that was such a creative game. I loved great. I recently replayed that game, actually.
Well, you know what? Not only did I recently replay the game, but I actually purchased the special edition from
the physical copy.
The physical copy from not Fangamer. Is it Limited Run Games? Limited Run? Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. That's who did it. Yeah. That's cool. That's a game I'd like to have a physical copy of, because I can see myself playing it again sometime in the future. It's that enjoyable. The golf mechanic, it actually works pretty well. All right. So I think we're going to take a quick break. We've done the first half of the year. I think there's a lot to chew over there, but we've got a lot more to go over for the second half of 2019. All right, we will be back in a bit. Guys, we are back, and now it's time to go over possibly the most important part for Nintendo of 2019, the second half of the year. This is the post E3 half of the year. I think this is where there's a lot of potential for some great wild cards here, and just for picks in general. Will certain games show up? You know, which ones will be pushed into 2020? Let's find out what Kyle thinks. Kyle, what do you got for July?
We're getting Town in July.
That's a good pick right there.
Yeah, I thought it fit in well. Last year we got Octopath Traveler in July, and I feel like Town fills a similar niche. It's a game I'm really excited about. We don't know that much about it at this point, but I think it would be a fun summer game.
It looks like it has the potential for some really good creativity there. I'm very curious to see, since it all takes place within the town, I'm curious to see what they pull out of it.
Yeah, totally. And I didn't write much about it, but one of my wild cards was Pikmin 4. I also feel like Pikmin is a pretty good fit for this summer.
You could predict Pikmin 4 every year until we get confirmation as to what happened to Pikmin 4. Was it Hey Pikmin, or is there an actual other game? I think until somebody says something in Nintendo, you might as well predict it every year, because it's still out there, potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
Didn't he say that he was working on the game and it's close to being finished? But he also said this like 3 years ago.
Yeah, and that was before Hey Pikmin. And so then people were like, well, wait a second, was that Pikmin 4? That's not Pikmin 4, though. That could never be Pikmin 4, because it's not really a Pikmin game. It's a spinoff. So I don't know. Yeah. I think Pikmin 4 exists, but obviously there's got to be some major problem with it if they're not releasing it yet. It could have come out last year. I mean, that was the second year of the Switch. Why not? Why save it if it's been done for so long?
You have a point. I mean, they could have been working on Pikmin 4 and Miyamoto just wasn't happy with the game, so they just took like bits and pieces of it and decided to like create Hey Pikmin instead and just ignored Pikmin 4. Because if they released a Pikmin 4 and it was a disaster, people would be like super upset. But if you release a spinoff, even if they take pieces and bits of what was supposed to be the sequel, people just wouldn't care as much.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt the franchise at all. People will still be excited for the next Pikmin. So, I don't know. I mean... But I hope you're right, Kyle, but I'd love to see Pikmin 4. That would just be another addition to a stellar potential lineup Nintendo.
But here's the thing. We're in July, so they could announce Pikmin 4 at E3 and release it like a month later. So it is possible.
Yes, it is. Definitely.
The only thing about this is, for your backup, you put Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is one of the games that made our list of the 40 most anticipated games of the year as chosen by our staff. The problem is, this game has gone through... I won't call it development hell. It basically, a new studio came in to kind of like polish up the game and finish it, and that worries me.
Yeah. WayForward's really good, though. The studio they brought in is
great for sure. But the fact that they were asked to come in and help finish the game has me worried. No matter how good they are, there might be problems with the game that they can maybe not fix.
Yeah, it all depends on what the problems were. If the design was fine and they just were moving too slowly, then that's one thing. But if they were having design issues, then I played this game at E3 2 years ago, and it was, I really enjoyed what they had in the build right there. I actually liked it. I loved the way it felt. Like, everything played really, really tight. I loved the way the game felt to play. And that was the most important part of it to me. After that, it just becomes level design. And I don't know if that's the issue or what, but I'm really hoping, I have high hopes for this one. I actually wrote the capsule for our list for this one. I still think this has good potential to be a great Metroidvania. I'm hoping, crossing my fingers.
All right, so we're getting close to the big, big month, but we're not there yet. We're at August.
Yeah, for August, I've got Shin Megami Tensei V. I'm not sure if I said that right. And Dragon Quest XI. I just said we'd get them both this month for no particular reason. Really, I guess just get the JRPGs out all at once. And I don't have, like, I'm not super knowledgeable about either of these series. I haven't played any SNT games, and I've just played a couple Dragon Quest, so.
Well, I think it's possible, and I think that if it does get released in August, one of the DLC characters for Smash will be one of the characters from the Dragon Quest series.
Yeah.
Because they're going to want to push that series out here in the West.
Right. And that, I think that was part of a leak recently as well.
It's a rumor, yeah.
Okay. So, but, you know, of course I didn't know that when I made this list, so one of my wild cards is that we're going to get a Witcher 3 port on Switch, and that the main character of that game is going to be DLC for Smash.
Geralt.
Yeah.
Well, he's appeared in many games, so it is possible he's appeared in a fighting game, Soul Calibur. But can that game run on the Switch?
It should be able to. I mean, didn't it run on a PS3 and Xbox 360?
I guess.
I mean, that should have no problem running on a Switch. It's all about whether or not they want to. Skyrim ran on a Switch. I mean, I think The Witcher 3 is a contemporary of Skyrim, so I don't think they would have a problem running the original game on the Switch.
Mm-hmm. Now, you called it... Wait, did you give it a different name?
The Witcher 3? I called it Breath of the Wild Hunt, just because.
So are we going to get like sort of like some kind of DLC added to the game, like Link's costume or additional character?
Well, you have to, right?
Well, you know, because it was the wild card pick and it's 100% facetious, I said that it's going to be identical to the original Witcher 3, except Geralt will be able to climb some things.
Now that will never happen, but that would be great if you could. I would pick that up. I never played a Witcher game, though. I did. I spent some time, you know, watching my brother play The Witcher 3 way back, and it looked like a fun enough open world game along the Skyrim lines.
Kind of like a masterpiece. It's amazing. Especially, I think you would like it. If you like Skyrim and Breath of the Wild, I don't see why you wouldn't like it.
Yeah,
we're so close to the big month, guys. So close.
I know. I know which month are you going for and which game in particular, because me too, that's going to be a big one. But we got September to do first. That's my birthday month. Kyle, what am I getting for my birthday in September?
You're going to get Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, The Black Order.
So,
yeah, I know. It's my birthday month too. I wasn't happy about it either. That's why I don't buy myself gifts, I guess.
Now, I think you made a mistake here, too, with your backup.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, because they announced that for March as well, right? Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's a March release now. I can't remember what the exact date is on that, but...
But it'll be coming early in the year, not then. I wouldn't have picked up Kirby's Extra Yarn anyway. I already played the original on Wii, and it was fun, and I have no reason to play it ever again.
Yep.
So that's all right. Tell me the wild card is going to be something good for September, though, because Marvel Ultimate Alliance, like, I don't know, you guys, I know a lot of people are excited for Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I never played any of the other games, so I don't really know what the appeal is yet. Maybe as it gets closer and I see more gameplay, maybe I'll be interested. But for now, I just didn't really register with me. But I know there's some excitement around it.
Yeah. So the wild card for this month is an as yet to be announced game by Retro called Unmapped, which is a pun off Uncharted, and it's basically going to be Nintendo's take on like that form of action adventure game that's like narrative heavy and like pretty linear, pretty heavily scripted, but the kind of game that like is always a big game of the year contender.
Now I would check out anything by Retro, as I think most Nintendo fans would. God knows what they're working on right now. Obviously, they have also had some problems, or else we would have seen a game from them recently. But yeah, I know you, Rick, you're a huge fan of the new Tomb Raider. That's just not my style. I know you love Uncharted. That's a big series for you. I would try it just because it's retro.
I mean, I've been saying this for years. Nintendo, it's not that they need a game like that, but it sure could help them out. I mean, I love Tomb Raider. I especially love Shadow of the Tomb Raider, one of my favorite games of last year. Uncharted, the whole entire series. Every single one of those games is on my like top whatever 50 of all time. I would love to see a game like that on a Nintendo console. I love those adventure games.
Unmapped. Good title.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably more likely we'll see Star Fox Grand Prix.
Can you imagine if they made a Super Mario Uncharted game?
Oh, yeah. That would certainly be interesting. As long as they actually made it platforming instead of just like you cling to the spot on the wall where the game says that you can cling to. You got to have a little more freedom of movement. They need like Breath of the Wild freedom of movement. Make an Uncharted game where you can actually climb anywhere like Link can, and then possibly I'm on board. It's the scripted stuff that I get a little bit tired of. And the contextual button pushing. All right.
Okay.
Right.
Here
now
it is.
We're to the month.
Here
that
it
all
is. Now I'm excited.
For.
I woke up. I'm here. This is the big one. This
Kyle,
is the big
is
one.
Your main pick for October.
Forget about the main. Look at his backup. Look at his wild card.
Yeah. I mean, the main, it's Luigi's Mansion 3. It's got to be, right? I mean, except it doesn't actually have to be because past Luigi's Mansions like haven't actually released in October. But it's just such a perfect fit for the season. So, I don't know. I felt
it
like...
It is. And how this year plays out, they don't need to release it early. They can actually afford it. Because before, it was like, okay, they needed it to boost their lineup. But I think they have a pretty solid lineup for most of the year.
Yeah.
And they can save it now for October.
But we know we're going to get the game, right? Like, they confirmed 2019. So, unless they release it in 2 weeks' time... after direct
that's wishful thinking, but I mean, who knows, the game, it's hard to say how far along it is. We haven't seen that much footage of it, just a brief trailer, so
they're gonna release it on Valentine's Day. That's my guess. Okay. The backup has me excited.
Backup. Ooh. Resident Evil 4,
that is one of my favorite games. Yeah, that is one of my favorite games of all time. I think we spent 45 minutes reviewing that game. It is my favorite Resident Evil game. It is I think it's on my top 10 of all time. Love this
game.
Yeah,
me too. Yeah. One of the greatest
games ever made. Yeah.
Yep.
Agreed. So that's the backup. And then the wild card is The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Dreams. And I really like this idea. I know it's not true, but I really wish it was true. It's sort of a spiritual successor to Link's Awakening. And when they show it at E3, everybody's going to assume it's a Link's Awakening sequel. But then we're going to find out that it actually takes place in a dream Link has before he wakes up in Breath of the Wild. And it takes place in that like merged timeline. And so you're going to have characters from all the different timelines and gimmicks and items and parts of dungeons from all the different timelines like merged together in a super surreal fashion.
Now, are you saying that this is sort of like, is this a spiritual successor to Breath of the Wild, or is it
3D or top down? Are we talking here?
Oh, this is a top down one.
Okay.
This is a top down. Yeah, good. I'm sorry, I didn't make that clear in there. Yeah, no, this is a 2D one, and I think there have been rumblings of a 2D Zelda being released this year, and then last year people were talking about Link's Awakening being remade for. I think at the time people were saying the 3DS, but. But this is what I want, so this is my wild card.
I mean, honestly, I would take a Link's Awakening in the style of A Link Between Worlds. I love that game so much. I'll take anything in the style of A Link Between Worlds, just whether it's new or a remake of Link's Awakening. That would be fantastic, or of anything else. So it'd be nice to see a 2D Zelda again on the Switch. A console 2D Zelda would be fantastic.
Yeah, totally. And then I also said Leon Kennedy would be announced as DLC. As part of my wild card, and that would coincide with the release of Resident Evil 4, and he and Ashley would fight kind of like the Ice Climbers, but Ashley would take double damage, but fortunately, Leon would have a down B move that summons a dumpster that Ashley can hide in.
You know, that would be amazing, but I think the DLC characters are going to be reserved to promote up in new coming games, or a game like Dragon Quest, which is not yet popular in North America. I could see DLC for Doom. I've already mentioned Steve from Minecraft in the past. I also said maybe Crash Bandicoot. That's a possibility. And I would love to see Banjo, but I think we're going to get a Microsoft guaranteed DLC character.
Yeah.
Leon Kennedy is one of my favorite video game characters of all time, and that is one of my favorite video games of all time, so I hope you are right. All right, moving on to November.
Yep, we've got Pokemon. It's obvious. And then I'm guessing that it's going to be called Pokemon Wild and Tame, and that the gimmick in this one is that there's going to be a new catchability meter that determines how easy it is to catch individual Pokemon. And there are going to be Pokemon that veer towards more of like the wild side and Pokemon that are more towards like the tame side. And it's not going to get as many Pokemon as an average gen because they didn't have, because, you know, it's HD development. It's their first game on Switch outside of Let's Go. And so they're going to lean into the original 151. And they're going to, like Pokemon Sun and Moon, bring back some of those Pokemon with some kind of twist. And in this case, they'd either make them particularly wild, like a really rugged Pikachu or something, or really dolled
with
up,
a beard.
Like prettied. Yeah, right, exactly. So.
Or a dolled up dolled up Pokemon that are going out for a night on the town.
Yep. Yeah.
They've got clean fingernails, well-manicured Pokemon. Very gentlemanly Squirtles out there. I like the idea, the concept. That's a creative, neat concept, Wild and Tame. At least I like that you at least are going, that they're going to have some kind of gimmick to it. I think that seems appropriate for Pokemon. Like, they're still kind of casting about. I mean, it's supposed to be traditional, and I think that fans will cry out if there's too much of a focus on a gimmick that changes things. And I think if you're right that they only focus on, you know, the original 151, I think that also, I don't know, man. I think people will be pretty upset about that because we basically got that with Pokemon Let's Go. And
yeah,
I'm not sure that.
I think that there will be a new generation of Pokemon and there will be a ton of new Pokemon.
There has to be, right? I mean,
but yeah. I mean, and this could just be because I enjoyed the way that they brought back like Exeggutor, like in Sun and Moon, mm-hmm. and made him like super long necked. Like, I'd like to see them do that again with other Pokemon.
All right,
that's a knockout November release. But what's the wild or back? Yeah. What's the backup?
Backup: Doom Eternal and Final Fantasy XII.
That's so fair.
Yeah, that seems right. Okay.
The wild card?
Wild card is Mario Kart 9.
Now, you know, you made this a wild card, and it's a possibility if only because they sell so many copies of any Mario Kart game, period. I mean, Mario Kart 8 sold, like, what, 8 million plus? It's still selling on the Switch, even though it was initially released on the Wii U. The thing is I don't want Mario Kart 9. I would rather have Diddy Kong Racing. I'm glad we're getting Crash Bandicoot because I love that kart racing game. I would prefer Diddy over Mario, in all honesty.
Yeah, I would love to have Diddy make a comeback. And you know what I really want is F-Zero.
Everybody wants F-Zero, except for Miyamoto.
I would be more shocked if F-Zero gets released anytime within the next 3 years than I would be if Metroid Prime 4 got released this year, or they released a new Zelda game or a new Mario game. Like,
yeah.
They can drop all of those games in 1 year, and I still would not be as shocked as if they were to release F-Zero.
I think they're done with F-Zero. I don't think they think there's a market for it. I'm not actually sure there is really a market for it. I think there's some strong outcry, you know, some people, strong voices online, but I'm not really sure that that would be a big seller anyway.
No. Now, I said October was a big, big month, but holy cow, have you looked at the lineup for December?
They're finishing the year in a big way. So I say we're going to get Bayonetta 3. And that'll sort of be the big December game.
Which
I guess.
Amazing.
But then I also have pretty crazy stuff for backup. And I should say at this point that I wrote this entire article in one night. I could not sleep. I was sick. I was ill. I was fevered. And I think some of that sort of bleeds into this article. And it really comes through in December when I say for backup, we're going to get Super Mario 3D World Port in Star Fox Grand Prix.
Yeah, hold on a second. Super Mario 3D World is one of my favorite games of all time. It is hands down, I think, the best game released on the Wii U. I've been saying for like 2.5 years now, they need to port this game to Switch because not enough people had a chance to play, and it's one of the best Mario games ever. Bayonetta 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's like one of the best games on the Wii U, probably awesome. The best game of the year that it was released. I think I voted number one. Shovel Knight came in second place. So the fact that you put Bayonetta 3 and Super Mario 3D World to port is amazing, but it gets better. And then you added Star Fox Grand Prix. Holy cow. And then you added Metroid Prime 4. Are you trying to kill me?
There's no so, way.
Nintendo stuff. Can't do this. Fans would pass out. They would die. They would have like heart problems.
Yeah.
You can't release all these games in a period of like 30 days. We couldn't handle it.
All right. That's so I posit this to you. Of those four games, which one do you think is actually most likely?
Oh, wait, Patrick, you haven't heard his wild card yet. It gets better.
Yeah.
If you thought that wasn't enough, what is one of my favorite games of all time, Patrick? I'll give you a hint. It came out on the Super Nintendo.
Earthbound.
Keep going. Link on my top X. Five. Close. RPG. Square Enix.
Oh, Super Mario RPG.
No, close. Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger. Okay, all right.
So what did you put about the Chrono Resurrection here?
We're getting the third game in the series, baby. Chrono Resurrection.
You're killing me. I can't breathe. You're killing me.
Now, is this made by the Octopath Traveler people?
Is this what?
Is this made by the Octopath Traveler development team? Like, they're kind of are they the go-to team now for sort of smallish, you know, RPGs with the 16-bit look? This is their new 16-bit kind of hybrid style?
You know, that would make sense. But this is the wild card, and there's no stops here. So this is made by the original Chrono Trigger team. They're bringing them all back in.
They're bringing them back, reuniting the band for one last show.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, that was an amazing article. So I just want to, like, because every year Patrick, myself, and Tim's not here, but whatever, we sort of give our predictions. We're not going to spend a whole entire show with our crazy predictions. But Patrick, if you had to say, take two, I'm giving you the chance here to predict two things that's gonna happen in 2019. Go okay. Wild or play it safe. I don't care.
All right. I don't think Metroid Prime 4 is gonna come out in 2019. I think that's gonna be pushed to early 2020, and that's gonna be one of their big releases of that year. I do think we are gonna hear news of a top-down Legend of Zelda game. Now, I'm not saying it's going to come out this year, but I think we're going to get confirmation that there is one coming. I strongly believe that there is a top-down Legend of Zelda coming based on various things that I won't go into now. But anyway, yes.
Okay, I think we're going to get the sequel to Zelda Breath of the Wild. It's going to get announced at E3, and it's going to get released in December. And that Whoa! Is not a prediction. That is a confirmation. I'm telling you, it's happening. Hey, wow. Guys, you really think that is far-fetched? Think about this. When did they start working on that game? When was the game released? And what system was it initially made for? It was made for the Wii U. It was released 2.5, almost 3 years ago, right? The Switch got released, what, we're in year two?
Yeah. I mean,
we're coming to the end of year two. So 2 years with the Switch. So it'll be 2.5 years by the time December rolls around. The game was initially made for the Wii U. Everyone believes that they postponed the game specifically so they can release it on both consoles because it was a way to sell the Nintendo Switch. So they could have, and everyone knows that they already started making the next game when that game is ready. So they could have already been working on the next game when the game was actually ready before it was even released. So that's already three and a half years. And if they're working
so
on the same
big games this year, I can't see them doing it. It would be like good to save it for next year.
Does Nintendo want to sell consoles and games? Yes.
Dude, if they come
There's
out with
no
Animal
reason not
Crossing
to.
in November and or Pokemon and then Animal Crossing maybe in December, I think they'd be more like Animal Crossing seems to me like a holiday kind of game. Like, hey, it's the family-friendly game. Get your kids a Switch and buy them Animal Crossing and Pokemon.
Oh,
that
I
to
totally
me is
disagree.
Like, that's going to sell you
no.
consoles.
Like, not Christmas time, maybe November.
I think Breath of the Wild sequel sells you software, but I'm not sure it's
exactly software.
If the original Breath of the Wild hasn't sold a console to those people already, the sequel isn't going to sell a console to them either.
Oh, maybe. Anyhow, so that's my big wild. It's not even a prediction. I'm telling you, it's confirmation. I can see into the future. It's happening.
Nice. Rick is, for some reason, often right. But this one seems far-fetched.
I'm usually right. and so the thing is, E3, Nintendo's going to have the whole entire show floor. I mean, take advantage. Like, have your Zelda booth, have your Animal Crossing booth, have your Metroid Prime 4 booth, even if Prime's not coming out this year. Like, there's no Microsoft and there's no Sony on the show floor at E3 this year. Microsoft's across the street, Sony's not showing up.
Yep.
Nintendo's a lot of space to play with.
They can make a huge splash and get like a ton of coverage just by virtue of being the biggest one in the room. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's such a, like, there's so many things that we know are coming out this year between Animal Crossing, Pokemon, Luigi's Mansion, Fire Emblem. And then I think Bayonetta 3, I think your prediction of Bayonetta 3 is highly likely towards the end of the year. I think we're going to get Bayonetta 3. That's why I don't think Prime is going to come out. I think they're just going to push it and so that they can keep pace, you know, with big releases. I don't think that they can release everything this year. I don't think they will anyway. But yeah, it's going to be a big year, a Breath of the Wild sequel. Hey, look, if it happens, I'll be first to buy it. But my God, there will be too many games to play this year.
And so my second prediction is I think Retro is going to show up finally with the game, but it's not going to be what anyone thinks it's going to be. I think it's going to be a brand new IP.
Unmapped.
Unmapped, baby.
Anyhow,
Can dream. I mean, no matter what happens, it's guaranteed. We know there's some stuff that they haven't announced this year already. We know it's going to be a big year from stuff that they have announced. I can't wait. It starts with Super Mario, new Super Mario Brothers U for the Switch. I don't know if that's Deluxe. Isn't that what it is? New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe.
Which gets released like this week by the time we drop the podcast.
Yeah, pretty much. And then Travis Strikes Again is coming out the week after. So we're already kicking things off with some good stuff. So looking forward to the new year. I think that'll about wrap it up. Kyle, where can we find you online?
Social media wise, literally nothing. Please read my stuff on Goomba Stomp. Yeah.
Yeah, be sure to check out Kyle's series. You want to remind him of the series again?
Yeah, it's called Level by Level. Yeah, and I usually publish about an article a week.
Yeah, it's a great series, especially for anybody who's interested in how games actually work and how design actually works of these levels. It's pretty fascinating. It can open up your eyes to some things that maybe you hadn't noticed before.
Actually, Kyle, before we let you go, so we know you're right, this incredible series over Goomba Stomp, but correct me if I'm wrong, are you not a teacher of video game design and or something related to video games down in Seattle?
No, I'm not. But I did. So I do have a background in game design. And I wrote philosophy about game design for a long time. I got my doctorate actually writing philosophy about video game design and virtual world design and the ethics of those. And so I decided not to go into academia. And now I'm an environmentalist and I do work around that. But Goomba Stomp is my outlet for a lot of my like design that drive to analyze games.
Well, it's kind of the same thing, I guess. Like, you don't see your students in front of you, but people do read your articles, and I guess they are learning. I know your Metroid series was super popular. It ended up on, like, all the Metroid fan sites, like, on the homepage.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, I was really happy to see that. Yeah,
they're great articles. So be sure to go check those out. Rick, where can we find you online?
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Goomba Stomp. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, you name it. And, launched a brand new podcast. It's not really my podcast, but I guess it kind of sort of is. But anyhow, it's kind of like the Goomba Stomp podcast. It is called Before the Internet. We released the first episode. I recorded on the first day of the new year, and we spoke about the TV show Black Mirror, specifically the episode / movie / video game Bandersnatch. Now, longtime listeners would have heard us discuss Black Mirror on this very podcast. I know it sounds strange because we're a Nintendo show, but we did it one time. So we talked about that, and the idea of this show is that we talk about something that is trending currently today in pop culture, and we connect it to something prior to the internet. In this case, the spin was this is an episode, like a TV episode / movie / whatever game that you could not have prior to the internet because you would need a streaming service like Netflix. It was not possible. So we have a few interesting shows coming up, including one about working in video stores, because most video stores have closed down. And we're going to have a lot of people that ran video stores, owned video stores, worked at video stores, to share their amazing stories about what it was like working at a video store. I have like a lot of big ideas. And the podcast will have rotating hosts each and every single week. And most of those hosts will be the writers of GoombaStomp.com as well as our friends. So it's called Before the Internet, and you can find it over at GoombaStomp.com.
For those of you who want to know what life was like before the internet, I worked at a video store for about a year in college. It was a fascinating place to work, especially for a young film student. It was a brilliant place to work. And you can, of course, find me writing at Goomba Stomp. I have just wrapped up the first of 10 entries in my How to Make an Entrance series, which is about some of the greatest movie entrances of all time. I'm going to start working on 10 more pretty soon here. We'll get those out. But in the meantime, you can check out plenty of reviews and all sorts of stuff over on Sorted Cinema. And you can find me at Sorted Cinema on Twitter. So be sure to check that out. And that should about do it. So we're ready to kick off 2019 with some games. We'll be back next week, probably talking about new Super Mario U Deluxe, and looking forward to the rest of the year. All right. Talk to you later.
Colors weave into a spire of flame. Distant sparks call to a past still unnamed. Bear this torch against the cold of the night. Search your soul and reawaken the undying light. On that day when the sky fell away, our world came to an end. Shadows, silence grows in the spaces between, stretching out beyond time, rising up as a chorus of souls finds a voice, flickering through the void. These little sparks cling on to life, everyone caught in this struggle, and then the storms of change, they fan the flames, scattering ashes to the wind. Time will not break. Colors weave into a spire.